Hi everyone, this is my EMT 600 entrepreneurial planning, and I'm here this afternoon with Travis Taylor, owner and co-founder, I should say,
yes,
of Fig Bistro in Asheville.
That's right.
I would like just to ask you to start. What makes you decide to start a business?
Well, the restaurant was something that my wife had always wanted to do, to get started, she started a catering business. I actually ran a catering business out of our house, and was initially looking into finding a storefront to put her catering business someplace that would be more visible, rather than just relying on the business that she went out to find. And we had some opportunities come up where we got the chance to purchase the property that we have our restaurant on, and the catering business plan. We started working on with our business plan, and it started to look more like a better idea to open the restaurant. So that's kind of the business plan kind of led us to that final conclusion.
So you have a business plan before even deciding to have a business now. Interesting.
The business plan is always good. It helped, especially in the startup phase. It helped to guide our decision making, because we had to think about marketing. We had to think about all the things like hiring and firing, even down to maybe devising some mock-up menus. All these things we did, and as well as maybe interview some other, like you're doing right now, interviewing other entrepreneurs and restaurateurs. We're lucky in that my wife had already been in the industry for a while, so she had a lot of good connections, and so we were able to really pick people's brain. And a lot of times when you start something, entepreneurs don't necessarily like to listen to other people too much, because we all have our ideas. And so we had our own ideas about how we wanted to do things, and so we listened to what we wanted to hear. And so that's kind of a funny bit of a trait of entrepreneurs.
It looks like you answer a bunch of my questions that I'm thinking of already.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But let's see, when you decided to go to the business, so you didn't think about any co-founder, you already have your wife in the field.
Right.
When it comes to finance, did you think about associating somebody that can be that capital, financial capital, or did you go by your own savings?
Yeah. In our case, we went, we basically took the business plan, which also laid out the financial side of it, and we took it to a bank. And the banker, especially when we got the opportunity to purchase a property, now for a bank, it's better for them.
Hmm?
It's more tangible. When you're starting a business, banks aren't always so interested in loaning just to a business. There needs to be some kind of collateral. And so in our case, with the purchasing of property, we went to a bank with our business plan. The bank put us in contact with the Small Business Administration, and they worked with the bank to in two different chunks to loan us the money we needed for the project. So we got, and the bank was able to have the collateral against the money they provided. The Small Business Administration took the most risk, but the bank had some skin in the game, so to speak. So that was our route. Now we have looked a couple of different times at expanding, and in both cases we had an angel investor. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we as a group made a decision that in this particular case it wasn't the right thing to do. In Asheville in particular, and in the Buncombe County, Henderson County area, there are a couple of organizations that will help people write business plans. There's like a class, Mountain BizWorks, I believe, has a class where they help you develop your business plan and help you take that and help you look for funding. So there's lots of resources out there for small businesses like that.
You said something about the angel investor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that having somebody invest in your business will take away the ownership, or did you weigh the wealth versus the controlling side before?
Well, in this case, we never actually got to the point of investing with someone else again. But that's always the trade-off. You know, if you want this to be your business, then you're going to want the control of the business, and whoever's investing with you, depending on how interactive they are, they might not like some of the decisions you make. So mm-hmm. that's something you have to it's certainly something you have to weigh out. I think it's good if you can find a and it's maybe an equal partner that you're comfortable working with. It's not always going to work out, but in the case of my wife and I, this worked out really well.
We're already wife. That's the best part.
yeah. So it doesn't mean we agree on everything with the business, but it's I think we have a relationship where we can really play devil's advocate with each other and kind of negotiate, and it works out really well for us.
You talked earlier about hiring and firing. So when it comes to hiring, what were your, I would say, your rules? What were your criteria when hiring people?
Okay. Well, typically, especially in the restaurant industry, up front, we needed good experience. Yeah. So we found, again, we had some good contacts. We found an executive chef who also had contacts, and so it's kind of like in a lot of businesses, like larger corporations. You know, when the boss moves to another facility, a lot of his teammates follow. So when we started up, a lot of that occurred, and then we were really sticklers for a while on culinary education, but. Especially as the years have gone past, the salaries for those folks are getting higher and higher and higher. So, what we look for now, because we have a seasoned crew, if we lose someone, we typically are looking for that entry level person that has a good attitude, an aptitude to learn, and some basic skills, and then we can teach them how we want them to prepare and serve the food the way we do it. On the serving side, we still look for and seek good experience there, because that's a special skill. You think, you know, oh yeah, I served in high school or something like that. It's just not quite the same at our restaurant. So we expect a little bit of refinement, although we try to make people feel very comfortable.
The quality side. Somebody that has a skill, professional, physically. Mm-hmm. I think you and I, we talked about this before. You said that you took a sabbatical.
Yeah,
to open the business. And what was your thinking behind?
Well, it was a circumstance. It wasn't it wasn't planned. We had already opened the restaurant, and it had been open for about a month, and we also had a catering business going on, and two things were occurring. One is the manufacturing facility where I was working was closing. It was going to be closing in a few months, and we also had a friend who owned a coffee shop who passed away, and we were provided with the opportunity of not only launching a restaurant, but taking over this coffee shop, and we had the catering business. So my wife couldn't do it all herself. We were running into some issues with the restaurant manager, having the right restaurant manager, and it's difficult I used the term earlier, skin in the game, but you know, unless you have someone that you really can trust. A lot of people, like the managers of a restaurant, if they don't have skin in the game, they're not going to maybe go to the effort that you expect.
Level you expect. Yeah.
Unless until you get to a bigger level, we're mom and pop. We're small, and we couldn't afford the levels of management that some of the big people, like say a Ruth's Chris, for example, would be able to hire. Those opportunities plus the plant closing, rather than come to my next manufacturing assignment, I decided maybe I would take a break. And so that's when, kind of get back to it. The sabbatical again, kind of came from out of nowhere, the idea of doing it. We needed, especially during the launch phase of the restaurant, and especially taking on the additional coffee shop, it really needed the personal attention of both my wife and myself. Yeah. So we looked, again, we went back to the business plan. We looked to see, well, if I'm a working manager versus what our current salary expectation was, adding the coffee shop into the mix, we felt like we could do it at least for a temporary period of time. So we did it for about 5 years, and then by the time 5 years rolled around, we had by then we had sold the coffee shop, and we had established a very reliable team at the restaurant. Some of the people who opened the restaurant with us 15 years ago are still with us. So we have established some a very solid core team, and so that's been really a key to our success, and that allowed me to go back to my regular work. We also wind up selling the catering business. Catering can be really hard. You're constantly preparing, loading, unloading, setting up, tearing down, it was
physical.
It's physical, and it's also emotional. It's kind of stressful too. Not that the restaurant can't be stressful, but so the whole evolution has been to we sold that business as well. Tracy focuses on the restaurant, and I went back into manufacturing. So it's kind of a bit of an evolution for us.
Let's see.
We're trying to simplify a little bit. Rather, most entrepreneurs just grow. We grew and then we downsized.
I think that's true. You can never cover other than your potential. You can only have certain control.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you enlarge and you have association with other people. Yeah.
And that's what kept us from growing, because we have had, at least three or four different opportunities. One was with one of the new hotels in town, but the scale on which we would have to do it on was just something we just weren't willing to take on. We wanted to keep our scale pretty small. We liked our business plan, we liked our business model. We've invested in a nice piece of property, or commercial real estate property, in a growing area of town. So that's and we have a business that we're proud of. So that's kind of how we come to the conclusion that we really don't want to expand. We want to. We have this nice thing we created. We make people feel special, and we make a little money off of it as well.
If I'm understanding you correctly, you have the side of making money, but the side of enjoying the accomplishment as well.
Absolutely.
Like somebody trying to get into business, what are the advice? What can you tell them to do to avoid the pitfall?
Well, I mentioned a bunch of times is when you start up, make sure you have a good plan. And the business plan or the model shouldn't be so difficult. You want to have a good plan. You want to make sure you sharpen your pencil when you do it. But if you have to work at it too hard to make it work, the numbers work, there's probably something. There's probably something in there that's not that you're missing.
Flow.
Yeah. It should flow pretty well. Not to say that you won't have some challenges, but having a good business plan certainly helps. The restaurant industry is somewhat unpredictable, so that's one thing where there's no guarantee of success on that one. I guess that in itself is a pitfall. But having good backing, being smart with money, using good management tools like QuickBooks, for example. I'm not trying to be an advertiser for QuickBooks or for Mountain BizWorks or anything like that, but just having use the good the tools that are available and use the advice of others who have done things like this before, I think are really important.
And also, you talk about your network and the network of people that you hired. So what do you think the networking of other people contribute to your team?
I think that just with the hiring and firing certainly is it helps. If I'm having difficulty locating some talent, I will go across to some other restaurants in the area and say, hey, I'm looking for this, that, and if you send anybody, you don't need them, send them my way. We do the same for them. There's a lot of at least in the restaurant industry, there's a lot of camaraderie among the owners. And so that network is great for purchasing things together, buying in bulk, and then buying. I used to partner up with another restaurant buying glassware because we were getting a better discount because we were ordering lots of it when we did it. Working with we have a group in town that's an independent restaurant association. So we get to learn from each other, get together, talk about different challenges and how we overcome them. Those networks are really, really good to have for a number of reasons.
Wow, that's, I never think about that. You get together with people in the same field, basically your competitor.
Yeah, it's competition. Yeah, but we help each other because I think we all know how. In this particular case, it may not be, you know, in maybe another
different
business
field.
Model, might be different. But in hospitality, there seems to be a lot of camaraderie, a lot of respect for each other, and so that creates great networks. I mean, you know the brewers, you know the winemakers, you know the bread makers, you know, it's just a massive network of people you get to meet, cheesemakers. It's really interesting and really, again, really rewarding when it goes right.
So if you have to start over again, what do you think you do differently?
Mm. I think in our case, very specific to our restaurant, I probably would I would have looked a little longer for space that gave me about 1,000 more square feet. you never have enough room, and I think that's where we took a tiny space and we made it work. But having said that, it also challenged us to be efficient.
Yeah.
And it also allowed us to just owning the property allowed us. For us, it's not so important to earn a big profit as long as we keep paying for that property. You know, because that's at the end of the day, that's kind of our gold ring is the property. We love to certainly love for the business to be eventually go to someone else who will take the same pride we do, but at the end of the day, we have something tangible which a lot of restaurateurs don't have that. They have rents, and the rents go up, and they wind up having to move or go somewhere else, especially the independents. So their life cycle is a little shorter oftentimes because of that.
You don't have the pressure of not owning the land also. Yeah.
Yeah. I think somehow I veered off your question, but.
All right, what can I say? I think I want to thank you. Thank you for taking your time.
Oh, absolutely.
It was very